Hello and welcome to another episode of the Impact Marketing Podcast. My name is Shane Malach, and today we will have a look at a formula. It is a formula for adding value to your business, adding value to the products you create or to the service you provide. The formula is S plus S plus WE equals value. And this is based on my own experience, what I've seen for myself and with my own work and with my own business. And it has also become the kind of thing I look for when I hire people or when I choose people to work with. This is essentially the formula I apply that lets me predict how well this person will work and how much success we will have if we work together on anything. So S plus S plus WE, we'll go through these different letters and talk about what each one of them means. So let's get started right away. The first S stands for, drum roll, skills. Now, you probably guessed this, right? If you've been around IM Impact for a while, you've probably guessed this. I talk about skills all the time. So the first S is really something I've already covered in various other videos and blog posts and so on. And I will link to the most important ones below if you haven't heard about this stuff before. But the first S is about the grind, right? The first S is about picking a skill that you want to become good at and grinding it out and getting better at it by grinding it out, by working on it, by deliberately practicing that skill and so on. And obviously, you know, the value that this brings is pretty obvious, right? The better you are at the skill relevant to your business, the more value there is, right? That's what a lot of the success of your business will be based on. So that's the first skill, or the first S. The second S in the formula also stands for skill. And here's where the interesting part from the formula starts emerging. Because I have found that we're talking about two different skills, combining two different skills here. And I found that in certain situations, there are certain skill combinations where the combination of the two skills becomes more valuable than the sum of its parts, okay? I'll first give you more of a theoretical example of what this could look like, and then I'll give you a more practical example, but you know, a less ideal possibly example for my own business. So first, let me give you a theoretical example. I've been spending a lot of time looking at various, you know, spending a lot of time thinking about and researching web design because I'm working on Thrive Themes right now. So I've been looking at a lot of web design principles, and I've been looking at what our competition is offering in terms of, you know, web design companies, in terms of themes and templates and so on that you can get for websites. And one thing I've noticed is that you can quite often find, for example, themes or templates for, let's say, sales pages or marketing pages that are very nicely designed, but I wouldn't ever use this kind of design or this kind of template to sell anything myself. And here's why. It's because most of these templates or themes are made by people who are designers, and they don't really understand, they don't have expertise in copywriting or conversion optimization. So that is a skill combination that would be very, very complementary. Imagine if someone is a designer and they also have a skill for, they also have knowledge and skill in the areas of copywriting and conversion optimization. Because here's what happens. Usually you have two separate experts. And so you'll have one person, they make a design, they make a beautiful looking design. And then you have the other person, their job is to build a website that actually converts people into customers. And they will probably either not use most of what the designer made, or they will tell the designer to change things, right? Because they'll say, well, look, this looks really fancy, this looks really nice, but I know that this won't convert people. So you have to change it, do this, do that. So the designer gets more work, has to redo things, has to change things, brings it back to the copywriter or the conversion person. Let's just say the conversion person. The conversion person, again, maybe they, you know, they're really focused on text and on copywriting. So they'll just write a lot of text, you know, have a wall of text. The designer looks at that and says, well, you can't do that. We need some more visual aspects to this page, starts adding images and stuff like that, changes the formatting. The conversion person comes back and says, well, no, it's too much. We have to remove this. We have to change this, move this, and so on. So there's What I'm saying is these two experts, who are both really good at what they do, end up being at odds with each other because the things they do are often in conflict with each other. And this is, and again, you know, this is based on what I've seen. So I know that a lot of, there's, let's say, pure designers who create beautiful, beautiful looking pages. But just looking at the kind of elements they use on the page, the way they structure the page and so on, I know from experience that this would be terrible. It would be a terrible page if you actually wanted to sell something. And I also think that this is a skill combination that's becoming more and more important because the web is becoming more and more visual. It used to be that if you were just a direct response type copywriter, you can quite effectively sell things just with a wall of text, essentially, right? You start writing and you draw people in and you write this story, and in the end, you pitch a product. And I'm not saying this is no longer effective, but I think it is becoming less and less effective, especially for many different, depends a bit on what market you're in as well, but for many markets, we're just seeing a much greater importance of being able to visually present your offer and visually explain what your product is about and so on. So if you're just a pure copywriter, that doesn't have quite as much value as it used to anymore. And also if you're a pure designer, that also, you know, it's, of course, it's valuable. It's a valuable skill. But and that's what I mean by the value out of the combination of these two is greater than the sum of its parts. Because if you have one person who's a great designer and also understands copywriting and conversion, they will be able to create an extremely effective and extremely beautiful design for you, or even do the content for you. And because there's no, they're not at odds with someone else, and there's none of this back and forth between two people, you save on a lot of time wastage that usually would happen. So that would be an example of a combination, of a really powerful combination of two skills, design and conversion, where the value is greater than the sum of its parts in the end. Now, I think one of the ways I kind of discovered this for myself as well is an example from my own experience and from my own business. I have a very basic level of design skills. Meaning, you know, I know my way around Photoshop a bit. And if you just give me a canvas and some, you know, and tell me, you know, create a nice, nice looking web page, I can just about do that. It's a bit of a struggle for me, to be honest. But I can just about, you know, from scratch, create something like a web page that looks nice. Okay. I can't compete with a real designer. I would never claim that, right? My design work is very sloppy compared to what a real designer can do. But still, this has actually added a lot of value to my business and helped me a lot in the past. For example, and perhaps especially when I was starting out. So when I was starting out, my first few free reports and my first product that I sold were made on virtually zero budget. And there, having the design skills myself, having this basic proficiency in design myself was very useful because I've talked about this before and I'll link to that as well. I've talked about how important it is to have nice packaging, a nice presentation of your products and of just in general of your business. And I did this early on, even with my first free products and my first premium product as well. I wanted to make sure that it would have this high perceived value. So for example, if you download a free report from me, I didn't want it to be just, you know, you download the PDF, you open the PDF, and it's just like the standard Word formatting. You know, it's just text. And with the standard, you know, with this pale blue kind of, I think it has like pale blue headlines or something. And it's Calibri font, you know, it's like, it's not bad, but it's you've seen it 100 times before, and it just makes it seem so replaceable. Right? It makes it seem so replaceable, and that makes the value lower. And it's also a branding issue, because if you're downloading one of these generic text-only standard template PDFs, there's nothing there that sticks in your mind that makes you remember me or makes you remember my brand. So even there, even in the very beginning, I wanted to make sure that, you know, you download this and you maybe have, you'd open the PDF maybe with a nice cover image as the first thing. With my logo on it and stuff like that. And then you just have, you know, just nicer formatting, just And I put some hours of work into just trying to make these pages in my PDF look a bit nicer, picking the right kind of fonts and so on. And it was good that I could do this myself because I certainly couldn't afford to pay someone else to do it, right? Again, this was all done on virtually no budget. And the same was true for my first premium product, which was delivered in the membership area. And I put a lot of hours of work into making that membership area look nicer and just look more premium, you know? Because, again, as I said, I think it's a very important factor to give people this feeling of having bought something that's really premium, not just in your content, but also in the presentation of that content. So if I hadn't had this basic design skill myself, I would have only had two options, really. I could have either just not done any design at all, or I could have maybe afforded to have a designer, you know, create something like a logo for me and then just use that logo everywhere. But I certainly couldn't have afforded to pay someone to do, you know, to create logos and cover graphics and, you know, restyle my membership area and do the slide designs for my video presentations and all that. I couldn't possibly have afforded that much design work. So there it was very useful for me to have a combination of skills, which my main area is the marketing and product strategy. That's what I do. And then my secondary skill is design work. And I did a bit of design work. And that was very, very useful for me. And even to this day, even now that I have designers working for me, and you know, I'm glad I do, because as I said, my own design work isn't that great. But even now, it's still sometimes useful to have this, because I can fill the gaps. You know, sometimes some minor design thing needs to be done. The designers we have are busy on something more important. I can step in and do something minor there. So even at this point, it's still useful. And that's one of the things about skill combinations, especially for small businesses and especially for bootstrapping. This can be really, really valuable, because in a bootstrapping company, you're not in a position where you can hire a separate expert employee for every single separate task in your business, right? So it's very useful if either you can fill two different roles to a certain degree, and also if you have people working with you who can fill more than one role. Like, that's extremely, extremely valuable. So that's another way of looking at it, is that if you have a skill combination, you can be a more valuable partner to someone else, or even you can be a more valuable employee in a situation like a startup. Okay, now I have a third example, but I'll have to consult my notes for a second here. I have a third example, which also comes from the kind of thing I've been working on lately. And the third example of a combination would be a front-end developer who is also a web performance expert. So again, usually you have different people filling these roles. So you'll have someone doing the design, then you'll have someone doing the implementation, the actual front-end development on your website. And then maybe you'll have someone else come in and say, you know what, our site is awfully slow. Maybe we should optimize the performance of this website. And again, this can be completely at odds with what the design person and the front-end development person have done. Because often there will be, you know, you'll have a design idea or a concept, and there'll be some fairly simple way to make that happen on the site, but it will slow down your website. And there's then usually a much more complicated or much more difficult and time-intensive way to make the same thing happen, but make it happen in a way that's really streamlined and keeps the user experience as smooth as possible, keeps your pages loading fast, and so on. And this is, again, if I look at, this comes back to themes again, you know, if I look at the themes that people are selling, and that's one of the things we want to do differently in Thrive Themes, is we want to make sure that our websites, that the websites you build with these themes are loading as quickly as possible, have fast loading times. And you can just see that if you don't have someone who takes care of this, it's very easy to make a site that looks really nice, but just loads like molasses because it's loading all sorts of scripts and it's just too much stuff. There's too much stuff going on that's just not necessary. And so again, you have the situation where either you have two people who are at odds with each other. You have someone doing the implementation and someone else doing the optimization, and then, you know, removes half the work the implementation person did, or is in conflict with that person, and there's back and forth and time wasting and so on. But if you have one person who has proficiency in both of these skills, who understands how to build a website, front-end development, and also understands performance optimization, the resulting value is greater than the sum of the parts from two separate experts doing this work. So all of these examples are from, you know, from what's current for me and from my area of expertise, obviously. But whatever your area is, wherever you can dive in and immerse yourself and become an expert in a topic or become immersed in a topic, you will see skill combinations like that jump out at you if you look for them. All right. So the idea is that you have a main skill and a complementary skill. And on this note, actually, one of the questions that arises from this is how, like, what level of expertise are we talking about here? Are we talking, you know, do you have to be world-class expert in two different things? And the answer is no. I think realistically, one of these two S's in the formula S plus WE, one of these two S's is always going to be smaller than the other. Because, and the extreme example of this is my design thing, right? My design skills are just about passable and nowhere near the level of skill I have on where my main focus is, which is marketing and product strategy. So it doesn't have to be that the two skills don't have to be equal for this combination to be very, very effective and very powerful. And so the same thing, let's go back to the example with design and conversion, right? If you have someone, let's say you're offering a design service, you do web design for people. I think realistically, you know, design is the thing, that's your main skill. That's the one where you have years of expertise and where you will keep building that expertise for years to come. Realistically, what you could do is if you say, okay, I want to add value to my service by also learning about conversion. Realistically, what you could do is you could do a 30-day challenge where you say you spend 2 hours a day for 30 days focusing and working on your conversion optimization and copywriting skills. Within that time span of 30 days, within 60 hours of deliberate practice of this new skill, I would say you can start offering that as a service. So after just 30 days, 60 hours, you can start saying, you know, my specialty is that I do conversion optimized web design. And because, you know, if you think about this as a designer, after 60 hours of deliberate practice of a conversion skill, it would completely transform the work you do. It would completely transform the way you look at the internet, like the way you look at web pages. And it would be, you'd be well on the way to provide a design service or provide a level of service and value in your service that a regular web designer cannot offer. So even though at that point you wouldn't be a huge expert on conversions yet, it would be enough to add a lot of value to your business. Because you have to keep in mind the nature of skill acquisition is this exponential growth. And I'm already at the limits here of my mathematical knowledge, unfortunately. So I'm not sure if this is an inverse exponential curve or not. But anyway, it's the kind of thing where in the beginning you make progress very quickly, and the higher your level of skill, the slower progress becomes. In other words, if you're already in the top 2% of people in the world with a certain skill, getting to the top 1% is something that will take years, right? Getting that tiny little bit better in the end takes years. But in the beginning, within 30 days, within a few months, within 1 year, you can go from basically being clueless about something to having a really good level of expertise at something. Certainly enough to add value to the business that you're running. So that would be the kind of thing, that would be the kind of idea, is that you have one main skill and you have one complementary skill, which can be far smaller, which can be far, your level of expertise on that can be far lower, and it will still be extremely, extremely valuable. And as well, if you actually put this into practice, so if we look at the design example here, if we have a web designer, main skill web design, secondary skill conversion, you know, after this 30-day challenge, you start offering it, you start working with clients, that becomes a new practice, right? Where you're still every day, obviously, you're practicing your design skills, but you're also putting into practice what you learn about conversion optimization. And you you know, I'd say maybe it'd be like a 3-to-1 ratio. You know, for every 3 books you read about design, you read 1 about conversion optimization, that kind of thing. And so as you keep working, the skills both keep increasing. Even though the conversion skill will never catch up with the design skill, the resulting value would be immense. All right, so that's S plus S, okay? Combining two skills in such a way that the resulting value is greater than the sum of its parts. The third part of the formula is WE, and this one is actually really straightforward. WE is work ethic, okay? And this is also just something I've seen again and again. You know, of all the entrepreneurs I know, the ones that are most making it happen are the ones with strong work ethic. And because I think, I also wanted to mention this because I think there's often a lot of talk about passion, right? Following your passion and being passionate about your business and so on, which can be very, very good. It can be very useful. But I think it's not as important as work ethic, because you can have someone who's maybe not that massively passionate about their business, but they just have this work ethic, this really strong work ethic. They're going to make it happen much more than someone who's a dreamer, who might be very, very passionate about something, but just doesn't have this this grit to work. Because I think, see, work ethic, I think, comes down to a very similar thing as the grind. Because what is work ethic really? It's you do the work even when you don't really feel like it. You do the work even when times are hard. You do the work even when you're having a bad day. You do the work even when you don't see any results from it for a while. You just do the work. You just put in the hours, and it's more than putting in the hours. You put in the effort, right? You keep pushing yourself even when you don't feel like it. So strong work ethic is a huge factor in determining the success of anyone, I think. And it's just something I've seen, you know, it's one of the most important things I look for when we hire people. So for example, we hired someone new for support recently, and we've had to change some things. We still have to change some things about how we do support anyway. So there's been some changes there, and we're still working on changes with our support staff. But there, you know, that was an example where, on the one hand, we need people who have technical expertise to do support work and also to do development work. But the most important thing is that we can see someone has really strong work ethic. And because I would rather have someone who doesn't have great technical proficiency, but they have great work ethic, because within 1 month, they will understand everything they need to be able to offer great technical support to our customers. Whereas if you have someone who's really technically proficient, but they don't have good work ethic, then they're just not, you know, 1 month from now, they'll still be doing mediocre work. Whereas someone who has great work ethic and low skills 1 month from now, they might be doing mediocre work now, but 1 month from now, they'll be doing great work. So, and also, you know, another reason why I bring up work ethic is I think if I look at my own life, I have a pretty privileged life. In fact, I have a very privileged life right now. And just, you know, to be clear about this, like, I'm not a millionaire or a billionaire or anything. I don't have like the jet set lifestyle. I'm not Tony Stark, in other words, right? But I have a very privileged life in that I'm location independent. I get to work with great people. I get to provide good, meaningful work for people. And I get to work on things that I really enjoy. And I think that's more than anyone can reasonably ask for, really. So that's what I mean when I say I have a very privileged life. And if I look at how come I have, you know, what got me to this point? How did I go from where I started to having this kind of life? Most of that comes down to work ethic, all right? Or to put it in other words, I mean, there are many contributing factors, but if you take work ethic out of it, I wouldn't be anywhere right now, right? Because so many times it was just about doing hard work for a long time, even if I didn't feel like it, and even if it wasn't showing results yet. And that's why I put WE into this formula. Also, it's very, very rare. It's quite rare to find someone who has really strong work ethic, which means that if you are a service provider, or even if you're looking for employment, really, and even if you're a product creator or any other entrepreneurial thing, it's something that gives you an edge, because you know that most people don't have this. Most people don't have strong work ethic. So if you do, it gives you a really powerful edge over your competition. All right, so that is the formula for massively increased value for your personal life, really, but also for your business, for your service that you provide and your products that you create. Have a main skill, have a complementary skill, have strong work ethic, combine all three for a truly explosive mix when it comes to value. All right, so now what I would like you to do is I would like you to tell me if you have any examples like that as well. So go to the comments and tell me if you have like a complementary skill set like that that you're working on, or if you've seen examples of this out in the wild, so to speak. And also, if you're thinking, okay, this makes sense, this sounds good, I would like to do this, but I don't really know how. I don't really know how this formula applies to my specific situation. Then leave a comment telling me about your situation. Maybe I can give you some ideas. Maybe someone else in the comments can help out as well and give some great suggestions. And as always, any kind of comments you have, any kind of feedback, any kind of input about today's episode is always welcome. So go ahead and leave your questions, comments, feedback, and so on in the comments. Also, you can get this podcast on iTunes. I'll put a link below to that if you want to subscribe on iTunes. You can also get it on Stitcher Radio. You can put a link to that as well. So that's specifically for Android devices, quite useful if you want to subscribe via Stitcher. And of course, we'd be very happy and grateful if you could leave a review or rating on either of those services. And if you enjoyed today's episode, also leave us or give us a social share, tweet it out, Facebook it, or something like that. All right. And with that said, thank you very much for watching. I look forward to your comments, and I'll talk to you soon.